to McLaughlin. She's pulled back and through a goal here for Terman. The ball's in the net. A Terman hit the front. And it's Shirley McLaughlin once again. The Terman supporters are on their feet on the 13-meter line. Shirley McLaughlin through a couple of challenges. She gets her left foot to it. And the ball's in the net. And Terman leads us 1-4. Another fantastic goal by Shirley McLaughlin. Are about to make history as the hooter goes. Terman, the Donegal and Ulster champions, are now All-Ireland senior ladies champions on a final score of 3-12 to 1-13.
Gee, agus Fáilte go Gian Clark coming Luke Glasgill, a shock to the show to meet Tom Comack. And, well, we're here in Terman tonight, and I suppose the only one place we could really be, and that's in the Lagoon, home of the All-Ireland champion. And as you can gather from the noise in the hall here in the Lagoon, we're not here on our own, certainly a large crowd, and they may be getting, some of them getting weary-eyed looking and a little blinky looking, but they're all still alive and kicking here in Terman, and the celebrations, they tell me, is going to go on for another couple of months anyway. As I said, we're here to celebrate, and we're going to have an extended program tonight. We're going to go to 9:30, so you can hope you can stay with us as always, and we look forward to meeting quite a lot of people, because there's a lot of stars here tonight, footballers, lady footballers, bringing great honour to their area, great honour to Donegal, great honour to Ulster, and well, it's Terman who are the All-Ireland Ladies Senior Champions for 2014, and they did it in some style, beating Moore Nabby from Cork, of course the Munster champions, 3-12 to 1-13 last Sunday down in St. Charles Stadium in Tuam. Geraldine McLaughlin, who is here beside me, the captain of the team, scoring 3-8 on that occasion, and well, certainly a special performance from her, but a special performance all round from the Terman ladies. So coming up tonight, we're going to be talking to Geraldine, we're going to be talking to the man who masterminded the success, Francie Friel, who I think picked up a thing or two from Jim McGuinness in that couple of years he was involved with him, and certainly coming to fruition with Terman this year. We'll also be talking to some men that played key roles in the success. Oisin will be going out around and talking to some of the players. I think most of the players are here tonight. And indeed, talking of players, we have to say a special hello to Roisin McCafferty, who unfortunately had to go back to Coventry to college today. But I'm assured by her mum that Roisin is listening attentively tonight. So a special hello, Roisin, and we miss you already. Anyway, as I said, Geraldine McLaughlin and Francie Friel are here with me. We'll talk to Trevor Alcorn and Paul McDade, the man they call Smiley, I think, is it? I didn't know who they were talking about last week when they were telling me about Smiley, but I've discovered since it's Paul McDade, and of course, along with Francie and Trevor, they have masterminded this success. But as I said, first here tonight to talk to me is the captain of the side, and the one that scored 3-8 last Sunday and captained our club to first ever All-Ireland. Geraldine, first of all, congratulations and welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much, Tom.
And I don't think I'm going to ask you to sing tonight somehow or another.
No, definitely not. Not tonight, anyway.
Anyway, how are the celebrations going?
Oh, they're going well. Like, you can see by the voice, like, it's still going strong. Like, the whole Terman's still closed down, so going so well.
Yeah. And tell me, has it sunk in yet?
No, it definitely hasn't. Like, I don't think it will for the next couple of weeks, for months, like, till everything settles down, till we get to think about it and think about the year, think about the game. But yeah, definitely won't sink down until we think about it. Like.
Yeah, yeah. And talk to me what it's been like since Sunday evening.
Oh, it's been unbelievable. Even coming off the bus on Sunday, like, we're girls in tears. And just to see the whole parish, the whole county there, we didn't even expect it, like. And we were walking over the goosebumps, and it just shivers up your back. Like, it was just unbelievable.
Yeah. And tell us, what was it like coming in here to Terman on Sunday night?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, to bring, like, the cup was for us, like, but it was for the whole parish, like, to make history in Donegal, like, to make the first team in Donegal to win. It was just something indescribable, like.
Yeah, yeah. And it was something, I know, and I'll talk to Francie a little bit about that in a moment, because I know something he said to me off the record last Sunday evening, or last Friday evening, before you headed off, and I didn't let the public know about it, but I will tonight. But it was something that you had a great belief in yourself that you were quite capable of doing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, I think there's a difference this year that everyone believed in it, like, the whole team. Like, going from last year against Dunmore to lose 19 points, to come back this year to win, to be number one in Ireland, But especially when we beat Down the Mine this year, like, we knew if we beat them, anything's possible. Mm. And the belief in the team was just unbelievable.
And you had to do it the hard way, as you said. You had to beat the Down the Mine, who were, you know, right up there, benchmark side in Ulster for the last decade. And All-Ireland champions of a couple of years ago, beaten finalists last year. And then after that, you had to go to Clonburn in Galway, who had defeated Carnacon and the reigning All-Ireland champions in their own backyard. So it was a tall order.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, but we knew we were good enough. Like, we have a strong panel. Like, normal club teams would have, like, 8 or 9. Like, but we have, like, 24 unbelievable girls that you wouldn't swap for anyone in this country. Like, just all came together on the day, like, so thankfully.
And tell me, I know you're getting great national headlines as well for your 3 goals and 8 points. I even heard Francie Friel talking to you about you on Morning Ireland. You probably weren't up on Monday morning. But
I probably wasn't in bed.
But has that sunk in? 3-8 in an All-Ireland final. Like, you know, 3-8 in any game is something extraordinary, but 3-8 in an All-Ireland final.
Oh, no, definitely not. Like, but was the team performance, like the ball in the second half, I got was just what we practiced in one bounce pass. We opened up, we got the space, and thankfully we did get the scores.
Yeah. And those goals, the amazing thing to me was you didn't try to bust the net with any of them, did you?
No, definitely not. Like, I was just literally passing. I think the last one just hobbled in the net. We're lucky enough it went in. Like, I didn't even think I'd put enough power even put it past the net. Like, but thankfully.
If you probably did try to blast them, they might be saved or stopped. Or I'm sure that was part of your plan, not to do it, just to stroke them in.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, sometimes when you blast it, like, it goes anywhere but the net. Like,
yeah.
But, like, in ladies' football, like, if you had to keep it on the deck and hit the corners, like, yeah, there's not many keepers in save.
And tell me, okay, we know that the congratulations have been flowing from Tiernan, and, you know, you've been hailed as heroes and whatever, and your names are etched forever in history of the club and in the minds of people. What is the reaction like from the rest of the country, your college mates, you know, even from Moran Abbey on Sunday evening?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, it wasn't even the county, like, we were in Texas. Like, I go to college in Sligo, and they were ringing me, congratulating me, and our Ulster manager, like, they were ringing me. Like, it was just the whole country. Like, I think it's because we're the first time that we won it, and we just made history at Donegal, like. So I think that the whole country was shocked that we did win it.
Yeah.
And we did go through a tough task. Like, it wasn't no easy game, like, so.
Yeah. Take a drink of water, and we'll give you a little break, and we might get you to sing later. Francie, pull up to the mic there. I know you went to bed early on Monday night, and you only got up this evening, so you're in good shape.
I'm well rested, Tom, that's right.
Anyway, Francie, what does it feel like now that you've achieved it? Sometimes they say the journey can be better than the destination.
Oh, it's unbelievable, as Jerry was saying there. You know, we started at the start of the year, and it was kind of, among our own self, we kept the whole thing kind of hush-hush. Like, we had our plans, and, you know, as I said, the date to the All-Ireland final, and that's where we wanted to be, and thank God we got where we wanted.
Yeah. And you did believe that you were capable of winning, because I know, Sid, you said to me on Friday, do you remember what you said to me on Friday evening when I asked you, what do you think?
I told you it won between 5 and 6 points.
I thought you said 10.
No.
Huh? But obviously, you were quietly confident. You can never be sure, obviously, with games and football.
And football, you just don't know. But no, I had great belief in these girls. You know, as I said at the start of the year, like, that was one thing that we had to get back into this year was belief. You know, like, you know, they're a savage group of girls. You know, and we put a big emphasis on this year belief, and thank God it paid off.
Yeah, and tell me about them. What's so special about them?
Ach, they're talented girls. You know, from 1 to 24, as Geraldine says. You know, the girls, in fairness this year, they give everything they could. They couldn't, there was none left a chance. Everything was given.
Yeah.
Like, people were saying, we're meeting up for training. We were training 4 and 5 times nights a week for this to be prepared. And it showed on Sunday in the second half why we were doing that.
Yeah. And just remind us again, I know you told us on Saturday in the preview, but just remind us again what it took to achieve what you have achieved, the ultimate.
Well, as I said, like, you know, we just give everything to it. Everything. There was these
guys. You're talking, what, 3-4 nights a week training? When did that start?
Well, this year we decided, last year we kind of went at it maybe from too hard early on. And this year I decided to the girls, which these girls here, you know, nobody understands. It's like they're mad for training, and I had to kind of hold them back. And we didn't really get going until we started training about hard training about May, June, and yeah. We went four nights a week. And we maybe had a game. If we didn't have a game, we had a challenge game. But, you know, we just went at it. Like, and our training sessions are like, because as I said, there's eight or nine girls in the county panel. You know, our training is high level. So we just trained like we played the games. And our training sessions were harder than the games.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously then, I know from speaking to you, since Donegal in particular, and even leading up to Donegal, once September came and the colleges opened, it came even more difficult.
Oh, that's right, Tom. That's kind of the thing about ladies football. But we were prepared for this year. I said to, you know, especially Olive, I didn't really want her coming back for league games. But when the championship kicked off, and she'd have to be home every weekend. And she, fairness, Roisin was here for the summer, and Roisin went away back to college, and the two girls come home every weekend for training, but they knew that's...
And just remind listeners where you know, what that took, where they were coming from and what
well,
that...
Olive's a physio in Scotland, and she come home from Scotland every weekend for training, and Roisin's in college in Coventry, and it started in, I think she started late September, early October, and she come home for every game after that.
Yeah, and talk to me about this lady beside you. The captain, you chose her at the start of the year. Was it following in Jim McGuinness's footsteps and picking Michael Murphy?
No, it just wasn't. It was just something that I thought I wanted to change something up. Like, I have a great time for Mo, and Mo's captain for the last 6 years, and I just wanted to change something up and go with a different dynamic. And fairness, you know, she's I have a wild time for her, and me and her be very close. And I just thought that she'd be the person to lead the thing out, you know.
Yeah, and she was proved you right.
Ah, she's brilliant.
Anyway, I think Oisin is there somewhere. I think he's going to go. We give Francie a rest as well. And we'll talk to Francie again at the end, actually. We'll get a quick word with you at the end again. And Oisin, I think, is going to go roving about now, because there's quite a lot of people here to talk to tonight. And I see a lot of interesting people from Termon and from former managers. And I see two stoic managers standing, sitting down there and already looking embarrassed at going to be posed some questions. But Oisin, over to you.
I think I'll speak to one of them first of all, Tom. Hugh Harkin, one step up, Hugh. Everybody can see you. Hugh, what an experience for Termon GA Club to have an All-Ireland title and for the ladies that you've been involved in as well to do it in such dramatic fashion. It's been a brilliant couple of days.
Yeah, it has been. And I suppose, look, the reality is it's 4 or 5 years in the making. It happens. It's, you know, the ref blew the whistle at the end of the game last week, and it's over in an instant. But it's hundreds of training sessions for these girls, and it's hours and hours of work by people behind the scenes and people at underage level, especially, I suppose, the man everybody thinks about with this team is Harry McGlynn. So it's just been phenomenal, Oisin, you know.
And the impact that this victory will have in the club, and in particular, we've seen the amount of young ones who were out at the homecoming on Sunday night. There was hundreds turned out, and it was terrific to see such a big crowd, something that shocked Francie and the girls. But this will have a huge impact now in the next couple of years in the club, because these girls are all the young ones' heroes now.
Yeah, I suppose it just changes, you know, where the club thinks it's at. I suppose we sit here as a club, and occasionally we play to, you know, the poor mouth to ourselves. We say we're a small club. I think we can't say that anymore. Once you're an All-Ireland champion, that's gone. So I think it's, you know, the impact this will have down through the years is just going to be colossal, please God. And look, you know, we had our 50th anniversary last year, and there just seemed to be colossal working on in the club. This year it seems to have gone up to another level at minor board and ladies and, you know, with underage ladies, reach county finals in that as well. But, you know, this is icing on the cake. It's just fantastic.
It certainly is. Thanks, Hugh Harkin there. Give him a round of applause. I'm going to talk to another All-Ireland winner. There's now another All-Ireland medal in the Gallagher House in Glenswally. I'm sure that's very well received.
Yeah, there's surely. Chanting Neil Stephen there. He came back from Boston, and he was so proud. And he was like, so I'm glad you just won it. Like, he's wishing us all the best in that beforehand, and he was delighted there. It's great.
Did you ever think that you could win an All-Ireland medal, Laura?
At the start of the year, we did. We were told we were going to win one, and you believed at the end to win one.
Yeah. And what's been special about this group of girls? They're all looking around at you here, and they're all smiling at you, and you're on the spot. What is it that makes this team click, Laura?
The good crack going into the girls' houses. Into the girls' houses, and the crack's why. Like, they're why a good bunch of girls. Very, very close. Very, very close.
Well, listen, enjoy your All-Ireland. Thanks. Give Laura a big round of applause. Ho in from Glenswally. I'll just think one more time. We'll go around this side because I'm going to speak to another of the forwards. Come on, Roisin, up you get. Roisin Friel, the Yank.
The Yank.
I was.
But like Cher, you know, we're Madonna.
How's the last couple of days been for you, Roisin?
For me, a bit mental, I think would be a good description. No, absolutely fantastic. I mean, to be, as Laura was saying, when you go into anybody's house here, you're part of the furniture nearly at this stage. They're best bunch of friends, and it's just fantastic. You go into national schools even there, and I had a laugh with one wee filly, told Geraldine, no, I'm better than you, and he should have a cup. And maybe that's the kind of, you know, that's the kind of thing. It's great to bring that back to your community, that the next thing, there's going to be more girls and more boys coming up through, that hopefully we'll have more titles coming back to Terman, and that maybe that was great that we're the first bunch to get going and start that off.
There was a lot of hurt in this team as well, having lost some provincial finals, and as Francie said, that you all learned from that, and that was probably the biggest learning curve that you've had this last 3 or 4 years.
It definitely was. I don't know, last year, at the end of the game, the girls, we were absolutely broken. We were broken, and I think that drove us on. I mean, maybe even back in 2010, that me and Nicole were talking about it this evening, even in the car, you know, we were only 2 points away from Munster Rovers, and I think that put a bit of belief in us. We knew we're up there with the big guns. We can definitely challenge, and it was just getting overdone in mind, and that once we get that, I think even from the start of the year we knew this was our year, we were going to make it our year anyway.
Well, listen, has it settled into the system yet that yous are all Ireland champions, and now yous are the mark team now as yous head into next year, that Terman's now the new benchmark for ladies football?
Not really. We've a league game now on Sunday against Glenfinn, so we'll tackle that one first. I'm sure they'll be out to get a scalp now. I mean, they're facing all Ireland champions, so we'll just look at that game and then we'll see where next year goes maybe.
Back at training tomorrow night then?
Oh, we're back this morning there, 5:30.
That's a well done, Roisin. Right. Roisin Frill. Tom, back to you.
Thank you, Oisin. And Oisin speaking there to Hugh Harkin, a former manager, indeed led them to Ulster success, or County Championship success a couple of years ago. And Laura Gallagher, of course, the All-Star goalkeeper now for... who comes from Glen Swelly, of course, sister of big Neil Gallagher, who got his second All-Star this year, and he's on tour at the moment, though he's back, I think, as well. So wondering if he bring any presents back from New York, Laura, did he? And Roisin Friel there as well, obviously very influential member of the team. Thought that we guessed the Glisten Clare coming look last game, a shock to the show to me, Tom Comack. We're coming to you tonight live from the Lagoon in Terman, and home of the All-Ireland Club Ladies Champions, following Terman's 3-12 to 1-13 success over Moran Abbey from Cork last weekend. And well, the celebrations are ongoing. They tell me they'll probably last until Christmas, maybe a little bit longer. But when we're on the congratulations, we can't forget either that Slochneil from Derry are the new Ulster Club Champions. They defeated St. Enda's from Omagh in a very high quality Ulster Club Championship Senior Clash on Sunday last, down in the Athletic Grounds in Armagh. 110 to 1-9 in favour of Slochneil, who came from 4 points down at one stage in the second half. Chris Bradley was really the star of the show, kicked 4 points, three of them very long range, and also kicked the winner. So Barry Tierney got the goal for Omagh. That was his third goal of the Ulster Championship, and he plays at centre half back. Disappointment for Oris of Termon on Oris of Donegal on Saturday night, lost out to Rock of Tyrone in the Ulster Junior Championship final. That was played in Owen Beg. 2-12 to 7 points. That's how that one ended. Danny Kelly's men, the road ended for them on Saturday night. Conor McCreesh, the full forward for Rock, he scored a goal and 6 points in a man of the match performance. Rock, the much the better side in that. And just again to remind you that Slochneil will play Austin Stacks of Tralee, who won a first Kerry championship in something like 28 years. Or a Munster championship in something like 28 years last Sunday, when they beat the Meyer from Waterford in the Munster Club final. And of course it's St. Fenton's or Road from Offaly who will meet next Sunday in the Leinster final, and the winners of that one will play Corrifin from Galway, the Connacht champions. But Termon are the All-Ireland Ladies Championship. We heard Roisin saying they've won league game. Their one league game to play just yet, but I just want to quickly go back to Oisin. I think Oisin,
we can't forget about the Termon Miners who won at the weekend as well. Tom,
yeah.
You're in the parish.
It's amazing. Before the county final, he had a black and amber scarf.
That's Paddy Boots' team and Benny Gallagher and the boys, by the way.
And actually, last weekend I saw up on the station, he had a maroon and black scarf as well. So, anyway, congratulations to the Miners as well, and to Paddy McDade, and obviously that success, that was against Buncrana, wasn't it? Yes, Buncrana, yeah. I hadn't forgotten about it either, but that was in the Donegal Minor Championship, and well, as I said, we've got plenty of people here tonight to speak, and I suppose two of the men that played key roles in this year's success are here beside me, Paul McDade and Trevor Alcorn. Of course, Trevor himself managed the side to championship success last year as well, and has been involved quite a long time. Trevor, how does it feel?
Words just don't explain, Tom, how it feels. I mean, I think I said to here when we landed in the Laurier here the last night, it was that's the happiest night of my life anyway, when we brought a title back here.
Yeah. Obviously, you've been there, you've seen it, you know, you've been involved with the team, you've tried hard. What was the difference this year?
I think it takes a couple of years. You have to build, you know, this doesn't just happen overnight, and it does take a lot of time to build it. And I mean, when me and Francine are friends for a long time, and I think the one thing that we have in common, whether it's out in the street playing a bit of football, we don't like to get beat. I think he'll agree with that. It doesn't matter what it is, if we're playing tiddlywinks out in the street, we do not like to get beat. So I think that it's this year, the wee bit of difference, I think Francie was said it himself, was that wee bit of belief. You know, we knew this girls, this journey started a long time ago. I mean, I took on these girls in 2009, and the first year, we always had to bother with certain teams in Donegal. I mean, Glenfin and Moville. I mean, we had bother with them every year. We couldn't seem to get over the line. And I mean, we played a league game against Moville, I think, in 2010. I sent a bit of an abrupt message out maybe at the start of the year, and maybe parents didn't like it. But anyway, when we got...
What was the message?
Well, I actually used Therese McCafferty, because the message read that I know we have a lot of girls there now that are doing their leaving cert this year, but when we are training this year, the leaving cert's going to come second. Training's going to come first, and it's not an excuse.
It's no wonder the parents had an issue with that.
Yeah. But we played the first league game against Moville that year. Yeah. We played them in the Tech pitch in Letterkenny, and we actually drew with them. And now it's nothing like this, but for them that time, it was like winning in All Ireland. Yeah. Because we had drew with a team that beat this team. You know,
that's not that terribly long ago.
Not long ago, no. That was 2010, yeah. We went on that year then to win the county in 2010. I mean, everything else was a bonus after that. I mean, we it was new water then when we got to Ulster.
And you won Ulster that year?
We won Ulster that year, yeah. Got over the line. And, I mean, we took whatever, each game as it came. We never looked too far into the future. But in one person in particular, did look a wee bit further than everybody else. We won a county title that year, and we were celebrating, of course. And Geraldine was on the phone to me the next day wondering, you know, I think we can reach an Ulster final. I mean, I was thinking in one game ahead. Geraldine was thinking three games ahead.
Yeah.
I mean, that just shows you.
She was only, what, about 17 at the time?
She was 16 at the time, 17, I think, yeah, 16 or 17 at the time, yeah.
Yeah, so she obviously read the text.
Yeah, she read the text. She did.
And did success come too early that year? Because not only did you win a first Donegal, you won a first Ulster.
It might have came a wee bit too early, I think. Yeah, it was a wee bit too early. And the girls were very, very young at that stage. And they matured over the last couple of years, and they got stronger over the last couple of years. And maybe you're right that maybe that did come a wee bit too early. I know that in 2010, in that final, an Ulster final, you could say we nearly robbed that final.
Yeah.
We led for 30 seconds, and it was the right 30 seconds. We led for the last 30 seconds.
Yeah.
We were 5 points down. I don't know, it was maybe 10 minutes to go. I think the commentator actually says, Terman put up a good fight here today, but they're going to bow out, you know.
Yeah.
Yankee stuck one in the net. Nicole McLaughlin pulled off one, a master stroke that a lot of people don't know about. I mean, Nicole McLaughlin was 15, 16 years age, and you can't teach this to players. I mean, you can't put it in their head. But Dunamoyne were going for goal in the last maybe 2 minutes of the game, and Nicole McLaughlin was following her woman. She maybe couldn't keep up with her that time there, Nicole, but I know, but she actually called for the woman to give her the ball. And your woman, the Dunamoyne girl, turned around and handed the ball to Nicole. We went down the field. Nicole hit Maureen. Maureen hit Yankee. Yankee hit Geraldine inside. With three girls following her about the field all day and stuck in the net.
I wonder, where did she pick up that tip from?
I wouldn't have nothing like that in the locker.
No, nothing. Paul McDade, when did you get involved, Paul?
I suppose I was involved probably nearly to the words the end of Hughes' term.
Yeah.
Lost the championship.
Yeah. And you've been involved ever since, really, with Trevor last year. And
Kevin been stuck on ever since.
Yeah. And, you know, as I said, as Trevor was saying there, you won Ulster the first year, you beat Dunham Mine. They were seen to be an invincible team at the time. You struggled then afterwards. You lost the following year to Glenfinnan, I think, in the championship semi-final here. Lost again to Dunham Mine. Lost last year to Dunham Mine. Lost heavily to Dunham Mine after probably should have won it the first day. You know, it would have been easy to walk away then, wouldn't it?
I suppose, you know, you have to look at maybe both sides of the coin. You know, the pros and the cons. But
yeah,
I suppose when you're dealing with this kind of group of women, there are probably some serious populars from Lauren McAway there. It's only 16 to Mo O'Donnell, that is 27 years of experience. You know.
You're in trouble, Paul, but that's your problem. I know the looks coming from Mo there, so they are. But and tell me, obviously, what's your role in the team? Because you're the quiet man, you know, because this guy besides you chats plenty and, shall we say, encroaches on the field more than once or twice in the course of a game.
You know, just every man just doing their part, you know. Let's kind of leave it up to the two boys and I'll kind of just do everything else.
Yeah. And talk to me about last Sunday and what it's been like since last Sunday, since the final whistle went. What was your emotion in the course of the game? What was your emotion in the first half, Paul, when things weren't going all that well? You know, let's be honest about it. Termin won that goal earned in the second half by and large.
I suppose there's, you know, Spats and Trevor talked about it earlier. You know, there's serious belief in this group, and you always thought if we could hang on there, that all the training would pay off, and thankfully it did in the second half. Mm.
I know Francie won't tell us, I know Trevor won't tell us, but I'm sure there was some choice words in the dressing room at half-time, was there?
I suppose when you're in an All-Ireland final, you know, you have to be honest and fairness. You know, she's probably not here tonight. Ross McCaffrey was probably the one that stood up. You know, can I grab the bulb of the horns?
Yeah. And obviously went out in the second half and...
Yeah, well, I think, you know, once we got out at half-time, you know, the girls realised that they were still in the game.
Yeah.
You know, Laura Geller pulled off probably.
Yeah.
Ball probably more hit her than she could have saved it, but
oh, that's very she cool. Kept it out. That's very cool. I thought that was a spectacular save. Yeah.
Well, her job is just to keep the ball out. You know, thankfully she did. We got them on at half time.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Trevor, what next for this team? I know a big party until Christmas, but come New Year.
Just more partying, I think, of that. No, we haven't really sat down. We really didn't get a chance to sit down and know what's next for this team, but there's big things for this team. I mean, as I think Francie was asked, to win an All-Ireland final, it takes a good team. It takes a great team to win a second. But I believe myself that there's a second All-Ireland in this team. I must say, just with one chat, Francie was chatting about that wee bit of belief that he installed in the girls this year. You know, they have that belief. This team got better and better. When we had bother getting over teams. I mean, Lake Mobile, when we got over them, from then on, we seemed to have that serious belief in ourselves that they never came back to torture us anymore.
Yeah.
And I think now we've got over Dunham Mine. And I believe that this bunch of girls can go to Dunham Mine next year. And I think it'll be less bother for them next year to put them away.
Yeah. So, and hopefully get a few better draws next year as well and get an odd game at home as well.
Yeah, with the odd game at home would be nice. I mean, our first in 2010, we had a lovely time if we were at home here for an All-Ireland semi-final.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest crowds out in the tournament pitch, but maybe the draw would be nice to get a look at home venues next year.
And sorry, we just actually have to go for the news now at 9 o'clock. We'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes, so back here to the Laguna tournament, but for now, back to the newsroom at the Mountaintop.